Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
The highest motive is often identified when a person, family, community, or country is under duress. For instance, both world wars gave the global public and nations opportunities to choose motives that are honorable despite risks, sacrifices, and cost. Incidentally, it's helpful to know your personal highest motive. Additionally, to let it propel you into opportunities each day. You know, this gives you influence and purpose. President Zelensky said, "We know that anything is possible." That was at an address in Stanford University in September of 2021. But even more significant, Jesus said this, "With God, all things are possible." Matthew 19, verse 26. So that means if your highest motive honors God, it is possible. Let's explore what this means in practical application. Everything you do has some kind of motive. If you are self-aware, you already know some of your motives. People are motivated by root causes that lie under their choices. Underlying motives are things like this: self-protection, pleasure, reputation, loneliness, love, dedication, compassion, promotion of a cause, to fight something wicked, fear, insecurity, pride. Interestingly, underlying motives have unique power. They motivate people to think, speak, and act. Significantly, these motives often determine what you pursue and what you worship. In other words, motives matter. I'm sure at some point you've read legal jargon in official documents and contracts. It gets complicated. Sometimes you reread it several times to understand. With this in mind, let's look at Paul, who sometimes uses confusing or difficult language. Still, his writing is so skillful, lawyers in training used to study him. In this context, let's extract points of his message about highest motive. Interestingly, confusion slips off when you simplify his basic points. So let's look at highlights from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. The first highlight is, "We know what it is to fear the Lord, and we try to persuade others to fear him." The second highlight, "We are not trying to commend ourselves to you, but are giving you an opportunity." The third highlight, "If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God and for you." Fourth highlight, "Christ's love compels us." And the fifth, "He died so you no longer live for yourself, but for him who died for you and was raised again." Paul's life exemplifies living with highest motives. Very sincerely, he cares about people. Further, he takes great care that his highest motive influences everything he says and does. His vision is to pass on a highest motive to his readers. Everything Paul says and does is motivated to please God and to help Jesus' followers in their faith. At the same time, his messages are very to the point. So let's look at some of Paul's messages using common terms. And here's a bullet list. Live with joy. Walk in confidence. Practice the fear of the Lord. Know God intimately. Trust Christ more than any other person. Engage God's love as the greatest motive. Those are Paul's very common messages all through his letters. But let's go back to our passage today. In essence, the five scripture points that we mentioned from 2 Corinthians form a unique invitation into effective partnership with Christ. You, individually, are invited. Subsequently, have you accepted God's invitation? Well, we're going to start with fear, a common motivator under people's choices. However, Scripture commends the fear of the Lord rather than the fear of man. Let's define the fear of the Lord by what it's not. First of all, it's not being afraid of God. Second, it's not ducking behind logic or reasoning to hide from God. And then third, it is not performing to get on His good side. Rather, the fear of the Lord is having deep respect, reverence, and a heart of gratitude for God. Remarkably, in this place, you have, first of all, begun to know Him. Second, believe His claims. Third, you have begun to cherish Him and what He's done for you. And then fourth, to respond to His offer of friendship and partnership. Actually, the fear of the Lord gives more understanding to that first scripture phrase we talked about. And here it is again. We know what it is to fear the Lord, and we try to persuade others. If you adopt this, you'll be motivated to keep God central in your heart, as well as inviting others to do the same. So essentially, the fear of the Lord becomes the framework of your life. Plus, it empowers your reach to others to know Jesus. Further, it eliminates the power of the fear of man. Let's talk about central motives. Essentially, when anything is central in your heart, competing with the place Jesus deserves, that's what you worship. Central boils down to one thing. What competes for your attention, focus, and worship? Central could be things like this: painful memories you keep reliving, desires you strongly pursue, fantasies of how you wish life would be, or simply people, things, experiences, and pleasures you enjoy. These kinds of things often compete for worship. If you fear the Lord, your life will be rewarding. Plus, you will include persuading others to know Jesus. So what is central for you? Your answer will touch on the second scripture point that we mentioned, and here's that second point. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you, but are giving you an opportunity. Subsequently, motives are most powerful when Christ is central. Essentially, you honor God while providing opportunities for others. Well, we're going to talk about being a fool. When you begin to do everything for God's glory, the world may think you're a fool. You're out of your mind. Well, they're not completely wrong. Here's why. If you've abandoned yourself completely to God's purposes, choosing Jesus Christ over this world and its temptations, you do step out of your natural mind and into the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16b says, you have the mind of Christ. Further, you recognize how indebted you are to God. Plus, you rejoice at the opportunity to show gratitude through your life circumstances. As you accept God's unique invitation into relationship with Him, you prove you love God back. Plus, you touch on the third scripture point, and here is that point again. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God and for you. Well, that's an incredible life statement with honorable motives that include God and others. Time to look at competing motives. It is impossible to operate in the fear of the Lord and still live for yourself. Naturally, it's one or the other. When you become a living sacrifice, you prove your love for God in the following ways. There's about six of them. First, you express gratitude for His grace and mercy. Second, you welcome conviction of wrongdoing. Third, You live with confidence in Christ's forgiveness and new beginnings. Fourth, you agree with his claims about who he is. Fifth, you engage full effort to bring your life into congruence with his word. And then the final one is to give personal testimony to his fresh new life infused into you each day. Suddenly, you have influence and purpose. Essentially, highest motives glorify God. Additionally, highest motives have dynamic, positive impact on you and on others. Likely, you'll be questioned, perhaps persecuted. Someone might even say, "You're out of your mind." Yet when you avoid the competition of motives, serving God versus serving yourself, your personal highest motive reflects the fourth scripture point, and here is that fourth point again. Christ's love compels you. So go after your highest motive to honor God. Live with personal purpose and influence over others. Let's take a moment to explore the highest regard and highest respect. Having a deep regard and respect for Jesus Christ, who is the God-man, very much God and very much human, it drives you to do some things. First of all, it drives you to bring every thought captive to Christ. It also, second thing, drives you to align every decision you make with Scripture. And then the third thing, it drives you to walk through suffering and troubles with deliberate cheer. Truly, these life choices are radical enough to make others wonder about you. However, those choices bring your greatest influence, the highest regard and highest respect that you can communicate. Miraculously, when you respond to God's extravagant mercy, Christ's love does compel you, and your heart is transformed. Remarkably, you are willing to do anything for Jesus, even during difficulties. Why? Well, it's because you have highest regard and highest respect for him. So, accept Christ's compelling invitation. Remember, he invites out of deep love for you. And that brings us to God's love. When God's love commands your heart, you no longer live for yourself or for anyone else. Further, you want to honor Christ, your friend and partner, to accomplish God's purposes. To live in God's love changes you, and it gives you the highest motive to love him back. God's love totally gives attention to the fifth scripture point that we talked about. Here it is again. He died, so you no longer live for yourself, but for him who died for you and was raised again. Jesus died for you because God loves you. The highest motive you can have is to live for Christ, no longer for yourself. Here are some application thoughts and questions. 1. What motives launch your daily efforts? 2. Do you need to change any underlying motives in your inner life? 3. What's your highest motive? 4. Do you have competing motives in your heart? 5. Is the fear of the Lord your strongest motivation? 6. Do you work to commend yourself or to provide opportunity for others? 7. Are you out of your mind for God? 8. Does Christ's love compel you? 9. Do you live in Christ's love and love him back? 10. List daily practices you can engage to prove your highest motive. Be honest. Portions of this content come from our book, Epistles for an iGeneration, Relevant in a Digital Age. This is a devotional book that takes you through 1 and 2 Corinthians. You'll find practical action points that help you know God better and nurture Personal Growth. You can find this book in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.